Hello and welcome to The West Steps, a podcast from the Colorado Children's Campaign where we explore the issues that matter for kids and families in Colorado. I'm Jackie Zubricki. Today we're going to discuss the Family Affordability Tax Credit, a new proposal in the Colorado legislature that has the potential to reduce child poverty in Colorado by half. The cost of living in Colorado is on many people's minds in 2024. A recent survey from the Colorado Health Foundation found that the cost of living and housing affordability were the top concerns of Coloradans. Everyone notices and many people worry when things like groceries and rent and childcare get more expensive. But for people with lower incomes, the rising cost of living can be the difference between affording the essentials for your family and needing to go without food, healthcare, or other basics. This year, Colorado has nearly $2 billion set aside to return to taxpayers as a result of the Taxpayers' Bill of Rights, or TABOR. The Family Affordability Tax Credit would target a share of that pot of money to families with kids, with families with lower incomes and those with kids under six getting larger credits. Advocates estimate that 45% of Colorado families would benefit from the credit, which would be available on a sliding scale to families making up to $95,000 a year. At a time when Colorado has become unaffordable for so many, providing a boost for people with fewer financial resources can make a big difference for kids and families. When the federal government expanded a similar tax credit during the pandemic, research showed that families used the credit for food, rent, school supplies, the essential resources that can help kids have a strong foundation for growth. On today's episode, we are joined by Sarah Barnes, Director of Family Economic Prosperity at the Children's Campaign, and Riley Farrow-Carter, Director of Policy and Advocacy at Gary Community Ventures. Let's get started. So much for being with us here this morning. Sarah, can you introduce yourself? Tell us a little bit about your role and then pass it on to Riley.
Yeah, thanks so much for having us today, Jackie. My name is Sarah Barnes, and I'm the Senior Director of Policy here at the Colorado Children's Campaign. I'm also our Director of Family Economic Prosperity.
Hi, I'm Riley Farrow-Carter. I'm the Director of Policy and Advocacy at Gary Community Ventures, which is a philanthropic organization based here in Colorado that combines the power of policy, philanthropy, mission-based investing, and entrepreneurial innovation to increase opportunity for Colorado kids and families.
Awesome. Well, we're here today to talk about a proposal to create a family affordability tax credit here in Colorado. Sometimes people refer to this kind of credit as a child tax credit. Riley, can you step us through how this policy would work and what it is?
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. I'm a big fan of the podcast and an even bigger fan of the Children's Campaign. And I am thrilled to get to talk to you today about the Family Affordability Tax Credit, also referred to as House Bill 1311. This legislation has the potential to cut child poverty in half in Colorado. It leverages all we've learned over the years about the effectiveness of tax credits for families' bottom lines and rolls it into an incredibly powerful and impactful policy. The way this legislation is structured allows for both depth and breadth of impact. And what I mean when I say this is that for Colorado's lowest income families, this has the potential to be a game changer. If you are a single tax filer making $15,000 or less, or a joint tax filer making $25,000 or less, you're eligible for the maximum amount of the tax credit, which is $3,200 per child that is five and under, and $2,400 per child that is 6 through 16 years of age. And research shows us that when families get that boost in funding, it's enough to help take them out of poverty and really make ends meet. As for the breadth aspect of the policy, beyond expanding to reach children above 6 years of age, which is where our current state child tax credit stops, it also reaches families at higher incomes, going all the way up to $85,000 for a single tax filer and $95,000 for joint tax filers. The amount of the funding stair steps down from the peak of $3,200 per child as the family's income increases. So you see this sliding scale. This is what is referred to as a refundable tax credit, which means that if you're making very little money, we're talking below the $15,000 mark, you're still eligible for the full amount of the tax credit. Additionally, since it's structured as a tax credit, it does not count as income, which could bump some families off of various benefits that they're relying on to help with things like the cost of food, housing, childcare, healthcare. We know that the combination of those programs, along with these flexible funds, are essential to helping families cover their expenses, invest in their kiddos, and move out of poverty. So altogether, the tax credit will reach around 45% of Colorado's families, those that are working hard, and this can boost to make a tremendous difference in their lives.
That's great. And why is it that it would be helpful to target these resources to families, and especially lower-income families? Sarah, can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, definitely. Really excited about this policy. We have seen really strong evidence in a lot of ways about the power of putting direct cash in families' pockets. One example, as Riley mentioned, is the child tax credit. We had the child tax credit at the federal level when it was expanded during the pandemic. There was really important data that came out of that expansion, and it was clear in Colorado that when families were receiving that expanded child tax credit, those payments, that they were overwhelmingly spending that money on necessities like food and clothing and housing costs. And so it's clear that those payments to families are really helping them do what they need to do to make ends meet. And we also know that those types of direct cash payments are some of the best tools we have to fight child poverty. The earned income tax credit, the child tax credit are great examples of that. And then a tax credit like this that's targeting families with children is another really great tool that we will be able to have in our state to fight child poverty in Colorado specifically. And then I think the last thing I'd mention is that, you know, Riley, you mentioned that the policy focuses some of its efforts around low-income families who have young children. And there is evidence that shows that when you have policies that are having additional income coming into low-income families when their children are young, we see not only better health and educational outcomes, you know, at that time for those kids, but also better outcomes for those kids into their adult years, things like increased earnings as they move into adulthood.
You gave a few examples of other tax credits in your answer, but how are there other efforts to support families' income and well-being that people should know about? And how does this kind of fit in?
Well, I can talk a little bit about some things that are happening in other states. And then, Sarah, do you want to talk about other efforts that are underway here in Colorado? Great. So,
sounds great.
You know, we looked at other states. We've mentioned that some of these policies we see mirrored at the federal level. And so you see a child tax credit and an earned income tax credit that are there. And then you have variations of them in some states. Colorado is one of those states where we have an earned income tax credit and a child tax credit here. And we're one of about 15 states. That's the latest data that I saw showed that 15 states in total have these types of initiatives. And the tax credits range anywhere from $25 to $1,750 per child. And so that's a really big range. We also know that the amount of money that you're giving to families really matters. There's some data that shows that once you get into that $2,000 to $3,000, all the way up to $4,000, you start to see families come out of poverty. And so that's a really big threshold where you have to put enough money in. And so some of the benefits that Sarah was just talking about that we saw coming out of the federal tax credit when the expansion happened was because it was a pretty sizable investment for families. And so that gives them just the breathing room to make ends meet on a monthly basis, which is critical.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Not just enough to, you know, cover one little thing, but breathing room for real. Sarah, what would you add?
Yeah, and I think that is a really great point. And in terms of what's happening in Colorado, I think there have been some really exciting there's been some really exciting progress in Colorado over the past few years, in particular around some of these supports for families. One in particular I'll mention, and it is there's an effort moving around at this session, is our state's earned income tax credit was expanded temporarily. It's been expanded a few times temporarily through legislative efforts, and most recently was expanded so that it will be 50% of what you get from the federal earned income tax credit. So that's how our state's EITC works. There's a bill moving through the legislature this session that would make that 50% state EITC permanent, which would mean that going forward, you know, families who are eligible for the EITC would also be able to claim the federal EITC, but also that their state EITC would be 50% of the federal credit, which is huge for families who are eligible for that credit. And then I think another bill I would mention, or effort that's moving through the legislature this session, is really thinking about how families access different public benefits and credits, like the earned income tax credit and the child tax credit. And that there's a bill moving through the legislature this session that would increase the amount of coordination that's happening between our different state agencies for families who might be eligible for a benefit but aren't aware of it, to help to outreach to those families, and also to increase the uptake of the earned income tax credit and child tax credit for families who might be eligible for that credit but haven't claimed it in previous tax years. And so we're excited to also be supporting along with Gary, that bill, House Bill 1288.
If and as all these tax credits come through and become part of what's available to families, is this something that people are going to have to really like learn about, dig into to access? Or is it something that like, how will families know if this is accessible to them? Or like how, you know, what would happen to make sure that people can get this if they're eligible?
Families should be able to get this pretty easily once they file their taxes. So this won't go into effect in this year. It would be in the next fiscal year. And what I would say is we're working on a parallel effort right now in the legislature to try to make it easier for families to know about and then to access these types of programs that they're completely eligible for. And we also know that a small percentage, around 10% of families, aren't filing their taxes. And so those are some of the things that are ongoing challenges with this, where we want to make it as easy as possible to get the dollars that you are completely eligible for. But it would be right now like the other tax credits that you go through when you file your taxes and indicate what your income is. And if you have children, that would just indicate your eligibility, and it should be a pretty seamless process. There's a provision in the bill where we want to explore how to move toward monthly payments, which I get really excited about and I know is really hard to do. And so we are just opening the door.
And that was part of that federal child tax credit during the pandemic.
Exactly. I think, you know, I was included in this where all of a sudden, you know, I had a child during the pandemic. I hadn't been tracking every, you know, new policy. And all of a sudden it was in my bank account as this tax credit, and it was exciting and much appreciated, and felt a little like, is this okay that I just got that? And I think we would like for that to be the norm more than filling out a lot of paperwork. And so we're trying to move Colorado closer to that. But right now there aren't any states where we're seeing those payments made on a monthly basis. So we're moving in that direction with this legislation, which I think is really exciting.
Awesome. So yeah, that federal child tax credit came into effect during the pandemic, where there was a lot of attention being paid to the support that families and people might need during this moment of crisis. In 2024, what's, you know, what's going on now that makes something like this particularly helpful for families? Like, is there anything special about the moment that we're in?
I think there are a couple of things. One is that despite having one of the fastest growing economies in the United States, Colorado is unaffordable for working families. We know that over 130,000 children in our state are living in poverty, and that wages have not kept pace with the rising cost of housing and childcare, not to mention transportation, food. So families need this right now. And I think the other thing, you know, TABOR is a complicated piece of policy, but the fact that we are constitutionally required to give money back to Coloradans just presents this unique opportunity. We have, if you're following the legislature really closely, you know there's not a lot of money to work with this year, but we have almost not $1.9 billion that has to get returned to the voters. And so our belief is let's take a portion of those dollars and follow the research that says what's going to make this most effective. And I feel like I've buried the lead or have not underscored this nearly enough, which is that this policy, we're looking at some national data and modeling, has the opportunity to cut child poverty in Colorado in half and really quickly. I mean, that's the other important part of this policy is you start to see the effects of these dollars getting into families' hands, and you can see the benefits that it has really immediately. And so it's exciting to see that we could have a big impact for a lot of Colorado families. And it just feels like we have to seize this moment to make that happen.
I agree. And I think I would add to that too, maybe to put a finer point on the TABOR question, which is that we are in a unique situation in Colorado where we have TABOR. We are required to return billions of dollars to the taxpayers this year. And so what that means is that Colorado, the legislature, doesn't have that money to invest in programs that they could identify as the best ways to support kids and families in our state. And it does put Colorado in a really tricky budget situation every year. But one thing that we are able to do, to Riley's point, is to think about the best ways to target some of that surplus money to families that need it through some of these policies, since the legislature is limited in some of the investments it's able to make due to TABOR in programs that support kids and families in our state.
Well, and I have a data point here that struck me, which is that an individual that's earning minimum wage in Colorado has to work 77 hours a week to be able to afford a one-bedroom apartment that's priced at just over $1,300 a month. So it just this disconnect of sort of folks working really hard and trying to follow what we tell them, you know, if you work hard and you are showing up and you're putting your time in, that's going to pay off and you're going to be able to at least make ends meet for your family. And if you have children, and especially if they're young children, the things are not stacked in your favor, so that you need some supports like this that come with a lot of flexibility so that you can say, all right, this is helping me cover the last bit of rent and buy some groceries and also pay for childcare. And we know that making those investments in our families, those are the things that they pay for.
I agree. And I think that's exactly right, Riley, that the truth of the matter is that the systems are designed in ways that make it really hard for some families in particular to thrive, to get ahead, to be financially secure. And so these policies really are getting at ways to try to make that system more equitable and remove some of those barriers for families to financial security. And I also think it's true. And, you know, we try to do this all the time at the Children's Campaign, which is to make the connection between these types of direct cash policies and child well-being, because I don't think that's always immediately obvious. But it really is true that some of the most powerful ways you can support families is to put money into their pockets that they can use to support their kids, to be able to afford childcare, which means they can work. And all of these things are, they come down to having an adequate amount of income, and that really is a child well-being issue.
Yeah. So how can people who are interested in this policy support or follow along with what's happening?
I think at the Children's Campaign, a couple of ways that you can follow along if you're subscribed to our Kids Flash newsletter. You can follow along in there for any updates as this really exciting policy and some of the other policies we talked about today move through the legislative session and any actions that you might be able to take as that process moves forward. So you can definitely stay tuned.
Yeah, and we have collected about 40 organizations and individuals that have signed on in support of this. We know that there are more that are out there. And so we'll be sharing the link with Sarah and the team at the Children's Campaign so that folks that want to sign up are, we would love to have more people on board and just showing their support for this. I think one of the things that's interesting about this policy is we have a really diverse coalition. And so it doesn't sort of get put into one bucket. Okay, this is people that are all focused on fiscal policy or early childhood. We see it across a continuum of different organizations and entities that see the value and the benefit of this. So we'd love to keep growing that list, and we'd love to have others sign on in support. We expect that the bill will be in its first committee, which will be House Finance, sometime in early April after the budget moves through the process. So we're also looking for folks that want to speak to this, that are willing to share their story, either as a spokesperson, talking with folks in the media, or testifying, really anything where we can help make this, you know, tax credits by themselves just sound wonky and a little inaccessible. And so the human side of sharing your story is really valuable. So if you're listening to this and you work with families, or you yourself, you know, you're like, oh, I would fall into some of these income brackets that we're talking about, and you want to learn more, we'd be thrilled to have you as a part of this coalition.
Awesome. Well, thank you both so much for your work on this and for joining us today to share, and look forward to seeing where this goes.
Thanks for having us. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Jackie. Thanks, Riley.
Thank you for joining us for the West Steps. If there's something you'd like to hear us talk about on the podcast, send us an email at media@coloradokids.org. The West Steps and the rest of the Children's Campaign's work is possible thanks to our philanthropic funders and our generous sponsors and donors. You can support our work by visiting coloradokids.org. The West Steps is a production of the Colorado Children's Campaign. It was created by Beza Tedes. Our theme music is by Trenton White. Our producer is John Wojcik, and I'm your host, Jackie Zubricki. Subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts.